Good morning to everybody. Warm welcome to our presentation of the preliminary results of 2023. Yeah, who we are. PIERER Mobility is the holding company for the brands KTM, GasGas, Husqvarna, and MV Agusta, including also power two-wheeler electric bikes. We are the biggest European power two-wheeler manufacturer. As you're aware, we are listed in Zurich. And if we jump to 2023, just as a big picture, 2023 was a challenging year. Fortunately, on the motorcycle in our main markets, it went very well because North America, Europe, also India, growing markets, China flat, Latin America flat, but overall, we did a great job on the motorcycle. So on the motorcycle, we did almost 325,000 units. On the bicycle, was a different picture because the bicycle, after releasing all the lockdowns and coming to a normal life, it decreased to the level of 2019. The whole supply chain was fully equipped. So margin-wise, already in the first half of the year, was heavily under pressure. So immediately, we turned around and reshaped our strategy, doing back to power two-wheeler bicycles. We sold the, I would say, mid-class and cheap brand Raymon. We separated Felt as a bicycle company, and now we are running clearly on power two-wheeler products. In total, we did 2.6 billion euro, exactly 2.661 billion, including almost 160,000 bicycles. We ended up at 482,000 power two-wheelers. And on average, we employed 6,200 people, most of them 5,000 in Austria, the rest abroad. If we jump to the company structure, we have a clear division separation. On the motorcycle, we have the brands KTM, Husqvarna, GasGas, MV Agusta. And as last year, we deepened our relationship with CF Moto in China. Later on, we will explain in detail. So we take care for the distribution in Europe for CF Moto. On the bicycle and electromobility products, as I said, we are sharpening Husqvarna, GasGas, and as a new product, electric scooter, a high-performance scooter from our partner CF. Then on R&D and design, it's as always, it's Kiska, our design company, our R&D, and our separated R&D in Barcelona. In total, in this division, we are talking about 1,400 people. So innovation is a very important part, innovation rate. And the next column, you can see our digital and IT structure. It's Avocado, our KTM Informatics digital agency. In total, we are doing most of all programming for our marketing and websites in-house, and separated our very important marketing instrument is racing motorsport, where we almost have 400 people, where we are running with the three motorcycle brands, KTM, Husqvarna, and GasGas. Okay, if we jump, then I would like to hand over to Hubert Trunkenpolz.
Good morning, everybody. I would like to introduce a program that we have agreed in the board of directors, which is called Pole Position. Given the general economic circumstances and also especially the situation in the bicycle industry and the bicycle market, we decided that we will resharp and focus our strategy. So we will not have a change in strategy, but we will have a sharpening in our strategy. And Pole stands for premium, objectives, leadership, and earnings. And what this means, just very briefly, premium, as Stefan Pierer was already mentioning, we will have divested the entry brand in the bicycle business called Raymon, and we will focus on, in general, also in the bicycle business, on high-priced premium mountain bikes and high-priced premium e-bicycles. The same also for motorcycle brands. So in which segment we are active, we always will aim to be in the premium of the market to command also relevant premium prices and markups. Objectives is also clear. It comes along with refocusing the strategy and also having the mindset again in the foreground, which is coming from racing, performance and winning. So this is that's what we also transfer to all our staff and also our stakeholders in the company. This comes along with leadership. In our case, it doesn't only mean internal leadership. In leadership, we also think about leading the segments and leading the market segments in which we are. And last but not least, I think this is the most important. We've been very much volume driven in the past. We have reached market shares over 10% in all the relevant markets. We now think that it's time to adjust this strategy in terms of keeping that market shares and have more focus on earnings. Means we do not buy ourselves market shares. We want to create shareholder value in the future by having focus on earnings rather than growth. And this leads me already to the next slide. So here you see this, I would say, impressive growth that we have seen over the last years. Definitely, we want to keep on growing. We want to stay a growing company, but the times where we have double-digit growth rates are over because it's simply not possible anymore if we would not buy market shares, and this is not in line with our premium strategy at all. So last year, we had a total sales, including the so-called non-e-bicycles, of 438,000 vehicles. Out of this, we have sold 482,000 powered two-wheelers. So it's a significant growth compared to the 2022 year. And when we then go more into detail then, and take a look on the split between motorcycles and bicycles, then we see that in the motorcycle business, we sold 381,555 units, what equals a growth of 2% compared previous year. The growth was more or less carried out by the brand KTM with a plus of 4%, and a very, very, I would say, big growth in the region of Europe, where we sold 140,000 units, what equals a growth of 15%. In North America, we were considering the high dealer stock and took out the wholesale pressure. So therefore, we ended up at 101,000 sold motorcycles, which still is by far, we are by far the biggest European manufacturer in the United States or North America with that figure. And the biggest growth was achieved in India, where our partner Bajaj is in charge for the sales of our products, KTM and Husqvarna. And the Indian market was also developing very dynamic, so there we could achieve a growth of 29%. Latin America was under pressure. We all know the circumstances economic-wise with a minus of 26%. Same in Asia. Australia and New Zealand was flat, and Africa, Middle East is a very small region at a minus of 5%. Jumping now to the bicycle wholesale. In total, we sold 157,000 units, what equals a plus of 33% to previous years. Out of these 157,000 were 56,000 bicycles, and 100,000 e-bicycles. So these figures look, from the first look, extremely positive in terms of unit sales, what they are, but a big portion of them is also credited to the sold out and de-invest of the brand Raymon. And the volume, so to say, was not in line with profit, because most of the many of the bikes sold were sold with almost no margin or even negative margin. When you jump to the next one, dealer development or a dealer network development, we had to do a massive effort in building up a MV Agusta dealer network. We were quite successfully in now implementing 142 MV Agusta dealers, which are real MV Agusta dealers. So we call them ready to invoice. So this means these dealers are not only the financial resources and the proper showrooms for it, but also are connected to our IT systems. On the other side, we were increasing the number of KTM dealers, decreased a little bit the number of Husqvarna dealers. Here we had to put more focus on quality of the dealers, and also we had an increase in GasGas dealers. So all in all, we have 4,760 motorcycle dealers. We've communicated earlier that the target is 5,000 motorcycle dealers. Given the circumstance that we're still missing at least 200 MV Agusta dealers, which we will bring into business over the year 2024, then we are heading towards the target of 5,000 dealers pretty quick. Same with the bicycle dealers, massive increase, as you can see. Here we will also have a lot of focus on qualifying dealers. We will not sell our products through the big retail chains. We will focus on the specialized independent bicycle dealers, and much more focus again on the second or the exclusive distribution channel via our motorcycle dealers that we have in our network already committed to sell also bicycles. So then to our strategic partnerships.
So we share that because Hubert takes care in China and I'll take care in India. Our meanwhile strong alliance with Bajaj is lasting almost 17 years. So has built up very nicely. So we have agreed for the upcoming year that we separate the distribution organization in Bajaj. We separate it as a KTM operation. So shareholding wise, nothing will change. But we are going to involved in that. We are sending also an MD for that to bring in more experience, more knowledge, especially on the off-road segment, because Indian market is the fastest growing one. They are benefiting out of the Russian war. To the cheap energy prices and the premium market is growing fastest. So that means we have to make a strong involvement. Secondly, we already have the third generation of our joint products. Start of production happened in December. So we expect for this year good figures on that. In India, it's well perceived. And in addition, we agreed to develop a new joint platform, a two-cylinder 500 350cc. So that part is going very well between Bajaj and the KTM Pira Mobility. In China, it's almost similar, Hubert?
Yeah, we just, Stefan and I returned from China quite last week and brought the new insight. So the cooperation or strategic partnership meanwhile, we see if Moto is really going well and strong. We enlarged this partnership to a cooperation also in research and development, product strategy, industrialization. And we were again deeply impressed about the possibilities which are offered through this partnership in CF Moto in all these respects. China is definitely ahead in the technology of all electric vehicles. So therefore, we also decided to move the development or most of the development of electric vehicles to CF Moto and produce and develop joint products out of this cooperation. Also, we have agreed during the last months that our group will take care for the distribution of CF Moto products in most or the most relevant regions in Europe, same as CF Moto is distributing KTM products in China. So this is a very strong and fruitful partnership meanwhile. And out of this, we also decided to increase the production capacity in our joint production facility from 50,000 units currently up to 100,000 units during the course of the year.
Coming back to Europe, our strategic alliance or strategic partnership with Maxcom in Bulgaria. Maxcom is assembling all our power two-wheelers for the market. Due to the adjustment of the strategic plan, instead of going to big volumes, focusing on quantities on the premium segment, I think it's the first positive outcome in our joint investment. We don't have to do the second step to invest in a second production facility. We can use the existing one because also third parties are going down at Maxcom. So in the future, we don't need an additional assembling factory in Bulgaria. We can use the facility from our partner. Secondly, our joint facility for logistics, we are using as a logistics center for incoming and outgoing products. It got finished by September last year. It's working pretty well in cooperation with our logistic partner, Lagermax. So that's on a good way. If we go to the next slide, I think you can see our global footprint on production. And that leads me a little bit on an explanation what's going on with Europe. Due to the high inflation rate, especially in Central Europe, Austria, Germany, and the high increase of labor costs, yeah, the global companies from Europe, they have to react. What does it mean for the pure mobility? It's clear. We are going to, in India anyway, we are already since a decade, but we are enlarging our activities in China. We're transferring the mid-class segment, that means not just the 7er, also the 950. Secondly, I think that's the biggest new change in that we're also transferring a big part of our electric development department to China. So that's the ongoing thing. That means throughout this year, for sure, we are going down by 300 up to 400 people due to the fact that we transfer quantities to China and also R&D capability and capacity. So that's the big picture. So we have in Hangzhou, we have a good working factory, which currently is 34,000. We agreed in our last visit that we put in additional products so that the next 2-3 years we're going up to 100,000. India, anyway, it's an endless capacity. And in Europe, we are focusing on the premium models and off-road. Yeah, that means 230,000 what we had on a peak will go down to 160, 150, focused on premium models, small quantities, and off-road high-end. So, in addition, we have our tax avoiding CKD or CKD operations. The biggest one, meanwhile, is Philippines, where we want to enlarge, because from the Philippines, you can also send completely built up motorcycles above 800cc to India, which is a real benefit. Then in Latin America, Colombia, in Brazil, we have decided in the future to do it on our own, the assembling in Manaus. And Argentina, let's see what's coming out of the new president. I think it sounds optimistic, but currently it's chaos in Argentina. We have a small operation in Spain with Gascas, where we are doing our trial products, already 5,000 units last year. We are also adding on small electric kids bikes. So that's working very good. That's our global footprint. But as a main message, Europe comes down and enforcing China and India.
All right. So maybe a word to our brands. As already mentioned in earlier presentations, Hero Mobility and Performance itself also as a house of brands. We decided already more than 10 years ago that that European strong brands must be clearly positioned. And not to give up this clear position, we added more brands to the portfolio in order to reach additional customers without cannibalizing the other brands. So everything started with KTM, and KTM is a sport motorcycle brand, a racing brand with purity, performance, adventure, extreme as brand attributes, and therefore very clear positioned and has a fan base, all a global one. They call themselves Orange Bleeders, and we will stick, maybe even resharp this position. Different is Husqvarna, even using technology from KTM, especially engine technology, with completely different ergonomics design and setups, we have achieved a completely different motorcycle lineup. And this works very, very well because we reach other customers with have an other focus and understanding of motorcycle riding than the KTM guys. With Husqvarna, with GasGas, we go a very much different direction in the future. This will be the young brand in our portfolio. Also, the product portfolio will go much more towards younger people. Fun and inviting will be one of the brand attributes. And therefore, with GasGas, we are very keen that we also can reach customers where we which we would not be able to reach with KTM and Husqvarna. Last but not least, MV Agusta, you know that we have bought in 25.1% of the shares of the production company. We have control about 100% of the distribution and the purchase meanwhile. So we are in the lead of all the operations. And also we have announced that we will execute the call option to go into majority at the latest in 2025. I think MV Agusta is clear. It's the luxury brand in the portfolio with a lot of potential. We are just in the process of setting up standards and more visibility to the company. But all in all, we are very well on track in the restructuring. And CF Moto, I was mentioning earlier, we have agreed to take over the CF Moto distribution in Europe. Most of the CF Moto products are also using KTM technology. For us, it's an entry brand in the motorcycle distribution, where we will approach for sure Suzuki dealers and other dealers which we have not reached so far.
Okay, also good morning from my side. I would like to start with an overview about the development of our employees. I think what you can see, especially what happened in 23, was the consequence of the switch in the strategic focus. When you see the development starting from 2020 to 22, we hired in total more than 1,500 people, and from last year to this year, it was only 96 people, employees. And if you consider the circumstance that we also recruit 75 apprentices, then you see what happened in the last year. We also started to decrease our employees numbers in the second half. I think what's worth mentioning is our apprenticeship program. We will continue with this program as the backbone for our skilled workers and employees. We also a very young company, and compared, I think, with other companies in the industry, our female share with almost 26% is very high. Now coming to the facts and figures of last year. As my colleagues mentioned before, we achieved another record year in regards of revenue with a plus of 224 million euros in sales. But if we come to the margin, you see that we suffered last year. What are the reasons for that? There are several ones. In Europe and especially in Austria, we are facing high salary and wages increases over the last 2 years, and this had an impact on our EBIT margin of almost 1.6%. It was also necessary to fight against our competitors in the market to gain market shares, as my colleague Hubert mentioned before, but this resulted in additional discounts which were needed in 23 and which had an impact on our EBIT margin of another 3.2%. In opposite of that, we were able to reduce already costs and increase productivity, but we were not able to participate or to anticipate this for the whole year, but it had a positive impact until now of 1.1%. So in total, when you compare the margin development, we closed the fiscal year 23 with an EBIT margin of 6% and an EBITDA margin of 12.2%. There is an additional impact when we come to earnings before tax. These are the interest rates. Why? Our financial result decreased last year tremendously. Why? Because we were forced to support our dealers via long payment terms to also slow down their increase of their financial impact because of the high interest rates. This was necessary to support the dealers and also to gain the market shares, as my colleague mentioned before. Now, when I come on the next slide to the segment, I think this gives you an overview and also shows you the necessity of this strategic switch, focusing on power two-wheelers and step out of low-margin bio bikes, which ended up with in the sale of Raymon. Why? When you see the motorcycle segment, EBIT margin of 8.9% is, considering the impact which I mentioned before, higher personnel costs, higher discounts, I think was satisfying and was within the original guidance we set out last year. The bicycle segment itself was very difficult for us because of the reason you've heard before, and this influenced our earnings by almost 50 million euros. And this is also the reason why we step out of this classic bicycle business and we focus on power two-wheelers with our brands GasGas and Husqvarna. Having a look on the balance sheet numbers, due to the circumstance that we had to support our dealers with longer payment terms, this had also an impact on the balance sheet total, and we also supported our suppliers with shorter payment terms or with financial instruments to support or to stabilize their liquidity situation, and this ended up in a lower equity ratio than we had in the previous year, increased our working capital, as you see it here, almost tripled our working capital compared to the last 2 years, and had also an impact on the gearing number. This action we took by purpose. It was clearly communicated. It was also necessary to stabilize our supply chain on one side and the dealer network on the other side, but it had a negative impact on the free cash flow, as you can see here in the bottom of this chart. I think it's necessary to mention that we stick to our investment program in regards of product development. We also increased in 23 our activities in that area by almost 30 million. But nevertheless, we believe that this is important and necessary, especially to compete with the other competitors in the future. On the last slide, the development of the free cash flow. I don't want to repeat all of it, but you can see here the summary of what I've mentioned before. The increase in working capital for sure influenced our cash flow of operating activity by almost 400 million. We continued with our investment program as we did in the past, but it had a negative impact on the free cash flow by almost 20 million. So the deviation compared to last year is explained by these two circumstances and were absolutely important for our strategic focus in the future. So this was it in a nutshell. At the end of our presentation, I would like to hand over to Stefan again to explain the strategic outlook.
Yeah, as in wrap up or summary, refocusing on premium brands. That's clear. KTM, GasGas, Husqvarna, and MV Agusta. On MV Agusta, it could happen that we are coming closer this year. It could happen. So that's clear. On the bicycle, we focus just on PTW, that means power two-wheelers bicycle, not anymore bicycles. On the electromobility, we deepening our strategic alliance with CF Moto to a lot of new products, especially under the brand name GasGas will show up. And intensifying also our strategic partnership with Bajaj. I think that's basically a must, and also very, very important because on the European side, it will go on. The inflation will stay high, interest rate, hopefully it will come down, but we have to react immediately. We have to strengthen and coming back to our good profitability, that means between 8 and 10%. So that's clear, that it's working together with our global partners in India and in China. And honestly saying, it's also helped to have two from these different regions, because you have a Chinese and an Indian partner, you can balance out your interest. So that's basically what we have for this year, and cost reduction in Europe as much as it gets. So that's my final wording. So Q&A is open.
The first question comes from the line of Esse Constantine with Jefferies. Please go ahead.
Hi there, good morning. Thank you very much for taking my questions. Number one, I'd like to start with the bicycle segment. I think what you mentioned was that a lot of the bicycles were sold with basically no margin at all, given the discounts that you had to do. Was that across the portfolio or primarily bicycles only, excluding the e-bikes? And if you could potentially give us a bit of an update on how the environment is currently looking like on the e-bike segment, especially around pricing as well. Have you seen any positive developments there? That's my first question.
Okay, so you can pretty easily explain that. The cheaper the bicycle is, the less it was under the pressure. So this is why we focus on the print, the more it's under pressure. So this is why we really focus on premium in the future, because what we have seen, everything below 3,000 euro retail, especially what we was carrying under the brand Raymon, we had to heavily discount because it's a kind of commodity. And therefore, the outcome is the resharpened strategy. What you will see in the future in terms of e-bicycles from our group under the two brands, GasGas and Husqvarna, will also benefit technology-wise from that what we have learned in the motorcycle, especially in the off-road motorcycle over the last year when it comes to suspension, braking systems, etc., etc. So we really clearly want to separate ourselves from the volume and mass makers, and therefore it was necessary to get rid of the cheaper products. In general, this is also in line when we take a look on how is the pipeline filled. And there also we see that more premium the bicycles are, the less is in the pipeline. So we already see demand on bicycles model year 2024 and 2025 with a higher price tag, because obviously the dealers are not overstocked with this kind of bicycles. The lower you get, the more stock the dealers are still carrying, and the fuller the pipeline is. So therefore, it will for sure take almost a year to clean out the pipeline with the low-priced bicycles. With the high price, we are much more optimistic. We see this already between 3 and 6 months that there will be, the market is coming back more to normal.
Understood. Just to understand, what's the typical holding time of bicycles in inventory usually?
The rolling time?
Holding
time. Yeah, that's the moment. The cheaper they are, the longer they stand. Yeah. So it's to a year at the moment. Yeah.
At the moment, a year, I would say.
Yeah.
And for the premium ones,
half a year.
Yeah. Maybe not even, because if you buy a top premium, you have waiting time already again. Yeah.
Sorry, I meant what's the usual holding time? Sorry, not what's currently.
Usually, I would say, 4 or 5 months at least.
It
depends a little bit on the seasonality. I would say in springtime and summertime it's shorter. Autumn, winter it's a little bit longer because of the weather conditions.
Understood. Okay. Yeah. Thanks. Quickly onto the balance sheet. I mean, free cash flow was pretty under pressure in 2023. If you could comment maybe on your debt covenants, and if you could provide us with any commentary around free cash flow for 2024, that could be great. Thanks.
I think with our numbers, we are all within our covenants we have in place, so there is no additional need for equity increase or something like that. So we are within our guidance, within our covenants. The cash flow position or the free cash flow position for this year should come back to, I would say, normality. We will see how successful we are to reduce especially inventory on the dealer side, how big the demand from those is to support them in addition. But we expect to come close to zero. Maybe positive.
Okay, understood. Thanks. And then just quickly on this strategy to go further to China, how are you assessing the potential geopolitical risk here? I mean, with Europe already investigating the import of EVs on the automotive segment, is there like any risk that you potentially see here in the future when it comes to electric motorcycles and the import of such to the US or even to Europe?
We do not see more risk than with anybody else, because if you are in China, then this Taiwan topic is, of course, seen from a different point of view. And in China, everybody is 100% aware that the conflict with Taiwan, or a serious conflict with Taiwan, would heavily affect the Chinese economy as well as the U.S. economy as well as the global economy. So We do not really see this escalation in the near future. Of course, we cannot predict what's going to happen. But talking with people there over there, and as well in Taiwan as well as in China, I think this has more attention in the European and American media than in Asia.
Honestly saying, I'm not in charge for the European Union, but as a global European company, you must team up in China. Otherwise, you are disappearing. And secondly, due to the fact that we have assembling and production facility basically everywhere, I can find the way around. Because just for example, the 790 engine is produced in China is delivered to Austria, and now we are doing an Austrian Husqvarna 790. So and I think if you're acting quickly, immediately, with some smart moves, yeah, you're on the forefront.
And just to give an example, 90% of the parts for all Apple products are coming from China. So I would be surprised how this should go to block that, because then one of the most valuable companies in America is dead.
Yes. Yeah, understood. Just for clarity then, the smaller sizes are going to be manufactured in India with Bajaj,
yes.
Mid in China, and the premium in Europe.
In Europe. So that's the strategy what we are running on a motorcycle. And if, as long as it gets, we keep Europe. Yeah, it's clear. But stupid politicians and all that surrounding is not helping.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
The next question comes from the line of Christian Braun with Finance und Wirtschaft. Please go ahead.
Hello and good morning, everybody. I have two questions concerning the dealer problems. First, it has been many years since we have seen an interest rate increase like this one, and I therefore was wondering whether this weakness of dealers is a usual phenomenon in times of increasing interest rates, or that they just have become weak and careless because of these years of low interest rates. And the second question is, you mentioned financial support for dealers, extended payment terms and high discounts. Have there also been loans to support them?
No.
No. Okay. The one goes along with the other. So high interest rates are affecting the business on two ends. First of all, retail financing is more expensive. And this is especially a problem in the United States, where most of the products are retail financed, and high interest rates, of course, is not helpful. So, therefore, we have to bring promotions into place to ease this cost of financing and give the consumers more appetite for buying motorcycles. On the other side, high interest is also, of course, causing a problem in dealer financing, in the floor financing facilities that we have in place. Also, therefore, you must imagine a dealer has a margin of 15%. Yeah. So out of this margin, he has to give some discount away to the consumer. So maybe let's talk about the remaining margin of 10%. So it makes a big difference if the dealer has to pay 1% interest or 5% interest for financing his stock. So this is also something where we have to help. And in addition, Victor?
Coming to your question, loans to the dealer, short-term loans, yes, if they are needed to prolongate the payment term, but no long-term loans.
Okay, thank you.
And regarding the after a decade of low interest rates or without an interest rate, the whole economy got used to that, honestly saying, yeah? And mm-hmm. that extremely fast increase, 10 times within 8 months from the European Central Bank, is hurting European industry or European economy heavily, can tell you. And that's the reason sooner or later they must come down with on a certain extent with the interest rate. Otherwise, it gets damaged the European economy.
Okay, thank you.
The next question comes from the line of Christian Arnold with Stifel. Please go ahead.
This is,
yes. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good
question
morning.
Question on the end markets. We have seen a very solid performance in Europe, clear growth here, kind of stagnating market in North America, declines in Latin America and Asia for your motorcycle business. What do you expect for 24 in terms of these markets?
In Latin America, we it's difficult to predict how Argentina will develop at the moment. And Argentina is an important market for us, always was and still is. For the other markets, we are very optimistic. For example, in Colombia, we changed a distributor and also our setup. In Brazil, we just decided to reopen our sales subsidiary in Sao Paulo because we also see potential there. We are pretty optimistic that we can offset in these regions what we eventually will lose in Argentina. Nobody knows at the moment. Maybe Argentina also turns out to be a positive surprise. It's an economic experiment what we see at the moment there with an unpredictable outcome. But the rest of the region should be better than in 2023. In Asia, the number that you see in decline of wholesalers is misleading because in what is in line with our premium strategy, we pulled out of some businesses where we only sold cheaper motorcycles with lower margins and focus also here in Asia, especially on the premium products and also more expensive motorcycles. So what we will see is maybe a stagnating number in wholesales or units, but a decrease in turnover and profit in Asia. So this is the strategy for Asia.
In North America, we expect a flat market because America's economy, it looks like a soft landing. So far, they are doing very well. In Europe, we are also expecting a flat market because that increase what we had last year, we don't see as that is repeating. But what's really curious is that the premium or the motorcycle is still a product which is in the focus of the customer. Yeah, that's the opposite to the bicycle. The bicycle is not really that thing what you need. That means vacation on a premium end, motorcycles are still on a very, very good demand.
Well, there is still the mega trend that we also have seen before COVID was playing into the business. The mega trend was always that the power two wheel is replacing step by step the car as a commuting tool, as a tool that avoids traffic jams, the parking place problems. It gives you more flexibility. Also, weather conditions are changing. So the mega trend towards the power two-wheeler is unbroken, is ongoing.
Thank you. Then on wage inflation, so your personnel expenses had a negative impact of 1.6% on EBIT margin, you told us before. I believe this pressure will remain in 24, right? So wage inflation is also a big topic for 24. Could you quantify what you expect?
I think we will face the same impact in total numbers on our earnings than we faced last year. But as we published in our last press release, we started a sharp cost restructuring program to compensate these additional costs. And these high wage increases also had an impact on our strategic focus to transfer activities to our strategic partner in India and in China.
Honestly saying, such a tough situation is squeezing us and focusing very much on that new strategy. You can imagine what I have to explain to the Austrian politicians and to the community that we said we go to China and India, although we still have good profit. Yeah, but that's the problem of Europe. Yeah, and Austria is on the leading edge on the inflation rate. The net income for the employees is still higher than a year before, but it doesn't help. It's just it's not the solution for Europe. And if you're doing in whole Europe like that, the industry is disappearing. Which anyway, an energy intensive industry, it's on the way.
Thank you. And then maybe a last question on your margin guidance. In your press release, you were talking about this 5-7%, which you expect for 2024. Is it fair to assume that the motorcycle business, you aim still for your 8-10% target margin?
Yes. So
that implies then the bicycle business will still do be loss-making, right?
As in the press release, restructuring and focusing bicycles on the way. That means it's not finished by the end of January. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
The next question is from Michel Koisch with Bellevue. Please go ahead.
Yes. Hello, gentlemen. Just a quick question, actually, coming back to the bicycle business. I was just wondering if you could maybe quantify the turnover in the e-bicycle business in 23. I think it was 146 million in 22. And this year, I mean, you've indicated the units breakdown between bicycle, between e-bikes and non-e-bikes, but not the turnover. So just to have an indication on that.
Yeah. So the total turnover was 240 million for the bicycle business as a whole.
Mm-hmm.
And two-thirds were e-bicycles and one-third was non-e.
Okay.
But the non-e was influenced by the sale of Raymond. So most of the bicycles we sold were Raymonds in that segment. And this was also the reason for this focusing on the two other brands.
Yeah, okay, I see. And the other question I had on the working capital, I mean, as you said, 24 will be a year of normalization on the free cash flow side. So obviously we should see a decrease of the working capital. But just looking at, you know, ballpark figures, in 23 you had roughly $500 million in working capital. In 24, with your assumptions of a flattish turnover, where do you think, roughly speaking, we could end up in terms of tied up working capital, basically, from those 500 million?
I think the big question on that will be the stock situation on the dealer floor, because this has a huge influence on our receivables. I expect a reduction. It will be not on the level what we had in 22 and 21, but I assume that maybe it should be something in the middle. This must be our target.
Okay. And maybe the same question on the CapEx side. I mean, you've reached a peak of, I mean, close to 300 million in 23, total envelope, let's say. Is this going to decrease slightly in 24, or are you still on those high levels?
Yeah. It should decrease. Why was there a peak in 23? You remember we opened in April last year our headquarters in the US, which was the largest investment outside Austria ever in our company's history. We opened the logistic hub or the joint venture in Bulgaria, which was also an investment of about 40 million in total.
Mm-hmm.
So 20 million were within this year. We had to invest in our new dealer software called DealerNet, which had an impact of 15 million, and we enlarged our R&D activities. So these were, I would say, peak situations in 23, and here we should find a normal level in 24, which should end up in a reduction of the CapEx level.
And in addition, what's supporting that is the strategic decision to move also R&D activities to China.
Mm-hmm.
It's also helping.
So are we going back to a level of, I don't know, 250, 260 million, something like this, or as an indication?
24, 25,
yes. In 24, sure. You know, if you cannot stop an R&D project immediately, yeah. If you have to finalize these projects, if it's from an economic perspective wise to do this, But there should be a slight reduction in 24 and the bigger reduction in 25.
Mm-hmm. So it goes down.
Okay, and maybe just a point of detail on the minority line. It seems that in your P&L, it seemed you had a positive impact this year of close to 4 million. What was that related to?
The minority impact. Yeah, these are several. These are the
China.
It's China, but we have also our joint venture in Bulgaria. Yeah, we have minority interests. We have on the Philippines minority interests. So there are some smaller participations where we have minority interests.
But mainly it's coming from the Chinese
yes.
CB.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, very clear. Many thanks.
Thanks.
Yeah.
The next question comes from the line of Mark Dieten with Vontobel. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. Just have three questions.
Good morning.
The first one is just talk about CapEx. I'm just wondering, when you said it will come down, does that mean in absolute and relative terms? So even if we accept 25 to grow again, CapEx would then come down both on absolute and relative terms. Then the second one is on the margin guidance again for 24. Can you tell us what is the charges you think for the reallocation and the production shift and how much that affects the multi-cycle margins? And the third one is when you say free cash flow development should normalize, so does that mean back to the 3 to 5% of sales levels already in 24? Thank you.
So your last question, free cash flow, 5 to 7%, I don't see at the moment. I think this is too early to predict now. As I said before, the biggest impact on that number is the demand from our dealer network to support them. We expect a positive influence on that, but estimating the real impact, it's too early now. So we will see. I would say in April, May, we have a very clear picture on that, how the direction goes. CapEx-wise, yes, for sure, in 25 it should be in absolute numbers and in a decrease, and in relative numbers an increase. As I said before, we had over the last 2 years several impacts on that figure. To repeat it was the headquarters in the US, it was our joint venture in Bulgaria. We started our investment at MV Agusta. We invest a lot in our R&D, in our product lineup. When I go back 2 years ago, it was 44 million, for example, less than this year. We had to invest in our IT infrastructure. I mentioned the DealerNet, which is our communication tool to our dealer, but we've also invested a lot of money in our security systems. So there are a lot of extraordinary items which had an impact in 22 and also in 23. I think, does this cover all your questions, or?
Thanks. No, the third one was on the margin guidance for 24, 5 to 7%. What is kind of the extraordinary charges of these restructurings and reallocation? Is that how big is the charges? Talking about 40 to 50 million, we have to assume, which would fall away in 25.
Look, I think our target in motorcycle business is to stay within the original guidance, which means between 8 and 10%. This is the target. The actual guidance is 5 to 7%. So I think there is room for restructuring the bicycle business, and there is room to cover the costs, which comes along with the strategic shift towards our strategic partners in India and in China, and. How this develop, I would say this we will see in the upcoming months.
Okay, thanks.
We have a follow-up question from Konstantin Hesse with Jefferies. Please go ahead.
Thanks. Just very quickly on the bicycle segment, are you making any profit, any margin at all on the? So obviously, I would assume that most of the loss is driven by the. Traditional bicycles, but on the e-bike segment, excluding that low end, are you already profitable at all, or is that still loss-making?
I think it depends what you mean with making a margin. Yeah, if we come to an EBIT level, at the moment not, clearly saying, but this is the reason for the strategic shift. On the gross margin in the e-bicycle business, we have a slight margin, but we have a margin.
Okay, but slight margin. At 100,000, it's a slight margin.
No, it's a little bit more for sure. You know, you must see that we sold 100,000 electric bicycles last year. So for sure, there is a margin.
But also the higher price the e-bicycles were, the higher the margin was. And in the top range, we had a margin.
We have a margin, but you have to cover the structure, and you have to cover development costs. And this is, as I said, yeah. If you count margin on the EBIT level, no. If you count margin on the product level, yes.
Okay. And to get EBIT positive, what kind of scale do you need to have here?
Yeah, I think this is what we are doing now. Yeah, we sold Raymond. We step out completely of the, let's call it, bio bicycles, meaning we also will sell Felt, which is for sure a profitable brand, but nevertheless, it's out of our strategic focus. And we focus on our two brands, Gasgas and Husqvarna, sharpening the product lineup and come and increase the profitability in these two brands.
Maybe to explain, when we started with the bicycle strategy, where we had huge quantities in mind, we have structured a separate independent division with, I would say, 150, almost 200 people to cover Europe and the global market. Due to the strategic decision to integrate and reduce to power two-wheelers, that means we are reducing people at least 120, yeah, integrating in the existing organization, yeah, in all the sales hubs. So that's our restructuring costs. If you reduce 120 people, you have to pay something. Fortunately, we are in Austria, not in Germany. But anyway, you have to pay for that. And that's what Victor meant or explained in his...
And also on the product side, what we have in mind is that even if we talk about e-bikes, but we will talk about real power two-wheels. So it's not this commodity e-bike for Husqvarna. We will go very much into urban mobility with products which are separating from that what is on the market so far. And with Gasgas, we go into high-end mountain biking. And as I already said, we are the market leader in off-road motorcycles, so you can trust us that we know how to make a proper suspension and braking system for such products. And this is where we see us in the future in the e-bike business, and leave the mass market to the others.
And maybe to explain, in addition, we are set up also close relationships with main suppliers. So with SRAM, we have a close relationship with Gasgas, so we are using exclusively SRAM, doing joint developments, even on the powertrain, and on Husqvarna, which is a urban and a city bike and a very European focused brand, we have on the powertrain a relationship with Bosch. So that's it, nothing else. We don't have any more Japanese manufacturers in that. That's also part of the resharpened strategy.
Maybe just ask just one final one in terms of a potential timeline here. When do you expect this business to potentially become profitable at EBIT level? Is there any timeline? Or
it must happen by the end of this year. Otherwise, it's not a restructuring. That's what I learned.
2025. Yeah. It's
12, 15 months.
Oh,
not more.
Okay. Sorry. So the EBIT, the negative, the loss that you're making at EBIT is because of the restructuring charges and not fundamentally.
Mainly on that. And that's... Yeah, it's part of the game. You must pay for that.
No, yeah. Fine. So, because my question was, in normal operations, is the e-bikes business profitable?
No, it's based on the quantity. It's profitable. Yeah, it's still on a margin level, what we explained, between 4% and 6%. Yeah, and the more you're heading towards premium, and more then you're heading towards the motorcycle.
So the loss comes out of the restructuring.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
The next question comes from the line of Miro Zuzak with JMS. Please go ahead.
Hello, good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
I have a question regarding the capitalized R&D. So you have between 400 and 500 million of capitalized R&D on the balance sheet, placed at the end of last year. Is there any chance or any risk, basically, that you have to write off some of it now with all the changes that you are applying on your business structure?
No, because we do not capitalize R&D costs for the bicycle segment.
We didn't do that. And it's on the motorcycle, it's checked every year based on the lifetime and the quantities. So that's on the motorcycle, nothing has changed. And the bicycle, as a beginner, we didn't do something. It was always written down.
Okay. And then a second one, it's a follow-up regarding the networking capital related to the question Misha Koish asked before. So if you talk about the normalization now in 2024, do you mean like that the change in networking capital will be, you know, come close to zero, or do you believe that the level of networking capital will normalize and hence the change in networking capital, the level will be negative, so it will come from 500 million down to 300 million or so again, or 200 million, and the cash flow effect will be positive?
When I talk about normalization, I mean this is the level of net working capital. So in 23, we had an extraordinary high level because of the reasons I mentioned before, dealer network support and so on. For 24, we expect here a reduction of the level of net working capital because we expect that the payment terms towards the dealers go down. So the DSO should be reduced during the year, meaning we can also fully utilize our ABS programs we have in place, which should have a positive impact on the net working capital.
Okay. And the order of magnitude, I mean, will be then like 300 million or so
in your
statement.
Last year we had 200 million, last year meaning 2022. In 23 we had 500 million, so I would say something in the middle.
Okay, cool. Thank you.
There are no more questions at this time.
Okay,
everybody.
Thank you for the good communication and the Q&As. And one or the other, we see each other today and tomorrow. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Bye.